If you would please join me, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Proverbs 1, starting at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let us give thanks for God's words. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you see it upon yourself to speak them into our hearts, that when we hear your voice, Lord, we know your love. And so we ask, Father, that you help us to not only hear your voice, but to respond to it, to live these things out, to commit ourselves, to being ever faithful in your words and in your truth. And so we are ever grateful, Lord, that you have sealed them with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, it seems to me that oftentimes that when we look at things like Proverbs, that we kind of look at it a little bit too late. We wait till all of the things in our lives have happened, and then we come to them. When the truth is that it would probably be better for us, and would be actually better for us, if we went to them first and then lived our lives out. So that way we would have this guidance, that we would have this instruction and this wisdom that Proverbs brings to us. And it shows itself in the everyday lives of the believers. And the absence of it shows itself in the everyday lives of the unbelievers. This is the moral question. This is the morality that we live because we follow Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. And that when we look at the things of morals and discuss those things and what is right to do in life and how we're supposed to live, well, we could either choose from ourselves or we could choose from God. You see, God is the one who gives morals. God is morality. He created us, and it's his morality that we try to live. So as we come to him and we look at his words and we try to understand these things, you know, certainly we do come looking for things of our lives and, you know, what's the lesson that can be taught here that we can live this out. But the reason that we come here is not so that we can be smarter about how we live, but rather so that we can live more faithfully in God. And so that as we come to these things, and we have to come to a moral question. We have to come to an understanding of what God is teaching us. And this is a wonderful, amazing place to come to. If you're looking for a how-to in all things, this is the place. How do I? This gives you the foundations for how you do. This gives you the foundations for all the things that we are. The morality is the ability to judge between right and wrong. But the real question that we bring ourselves to is, but who decides what moral is? Who decides what our morality is? How do we know what it is to be moral? And we find here in Proverbs that it starts with the wisdom and teaching us about wisdom. And actually, it goes through 9 chapters of telling us about wisdom. We're only going to visit 2 here, one today and then one next week. But as we go through and visit these, we have to always keep in mind that this is a significant part of the Proverbs that is teaching us something that we can live out in our lives, so that we can answer the questions and the problems and the things that we face, no matter what they may be. What problem do you have that God can't overcome? What answer do you need that God doesn't have? What better place to come than when he gives us instruction on how to do it and how to answer the questions? So as we take a look at this then, and let's start here with our verses 2 and 3 here. And that you see in here that as he brings these to us, he identifies for us immediately what our need is. That Proverbs is here for us so that we gain wisdom and instruction. Now, wisdom is kind of a slippery definition for us sometimes, and I think that we can get into some big philosophical debates about what wisdom is, and honestly, I just don't want to do that. I need something simple here. And so here's the simple definition that I have for wisdom. Wisdom signifies skillful living, the ability to make wise choices and live successfully according to the moral standards of the covenant community. That would be the believing community. Skillful people produce things of value to God and to the community. The reason that God gives us morals is so that then we can return to Him a faithful person in ourselves, in those around us, in our position. The skillful living that He talks about, so this morality that God gives us exudes itself from everything that we are, from our entire being. And I know that we look at our lives and we say, well, you know, I'm not really all that. I'm not really all them things. I'm kind of a work in progress. And you're right, you are. We are all works in progress. That's why it uses words for like gaining. You know, that word doesn't end. It doesn't, you gained it and now you're done. No, you're gaining wisdom. You're gaining instruction. You continue to grow in these things. You continue to find out that these are the answers to your needs from God. And so he brings us to these Proverbs and he says, so here's this wisdom and this instruction for understanding words of insight, words that you can understand, words that you can see through these things, that you know what God would want you to do, that he would help you to decide, that he would help you to see and to know what is the right thing to do, what is the godly thing to do, what is the faithful thing that I'm supposed to do in Jesus Christ in all that he has done for me. So in verse 3, we see that it says, you know, he's got this receiving this instruction in prudent behavior. And so that we would live behaviors. And prudent, again, is another one of those words that kind of slips all around when you grab a hold of it. It's like holding Jell-O. It doesn't stay in your hands. It slips through your fingers. But prudent behavior is wise behavior. That if you're living in the wisdom of God, that you're living under the instruction of God and under His care and under His guidance, you will live a prudent life. You will live a life that is godly. And it definitely has to do with then our behaviors. Don't ever be sold short on this. That if someone were working hard to get you to walk away from Scripture, then what they would try to help you to understand or to try to help you to believe is that you don't need your behavior corrected, that you're a good person, and that all you need to do is to live out goodness in your life. You know, that really you don't need Scripture because it's nothing but rules. And here's the truth in front of you. It is about your behaviors. It is about how you interact with one another. It is about how you interact in the relationships that you have. Prudence is what we bring to all of our life, this prudent behavior, this godly behavior. Whether it's with someone you just met for the first time, it's a stranger you pass in the street, or it's with someone you love and are with for a lifetime. It guides and controls our behavior. We were just having this discussion down in our young adults. We were talking about decisions and how do you make decisions and how do you know? And truly, you know, if you try to answer that question, you have to come back here. Because the answer is given to us in a foundation which lives with us forever and not like what the world would give you, something temporary. Just go out and do that and then that will be better. But rather, what God changes is he changes us. He changes you. He changes your hearts so that at that foundation, then you're always answering the question in a godly way. It doesn't matter what the question is. It doesn't matter whether you want to talk abortion, that you want to talk about immigration. It doesn't matter. All of those questions come with a foundation already in the answer. And that is our morality. That is who we are. That as we look at them, we want to see them in the light of God's wisdom. And the light of God's righteousness, and we bring ourselves to that. So as we look at these decisions, we have a very simple thing to found ourselves in. Is it a sin or is it not a sin? If it's not a sin, then God's going to guide you in it no matter what. If it's a sin, here's the simple answer. If it's a sin, don't do it. If it's a sin, don't put it on your list of options. It doesn't belong there. That is moral behavior. And that is why we come here to learn that. Not here, but here, that we come in Scripture to learn that. That we learn that through the Word of God and not our pastors. So as we look at this behavior then, and we see here it defines it truly for us in the spirit and behavior. He says we're doing what is right and just and fair, you know, and we argue about that all the time, you know, because what is right for you may not be right for me. Well, there's no such thing in a believer. It's what is right for God. It is what is just for God. It is what is fair in God. That's what we live in our moral behavior. That is who we are. That is what we've committed to. Why does it seem like sometimes it's such a difficult thing to do? Well, because we're sinners at nature. We're sinners. And as we deal with our own sins and we come face to face with these things, we find ourselves in conflict with them. Because we do sometimes want what's right for us. Sometimes we do what we think is just and what is fair for us. But maybe not for somebody else. So you see, so as he helps us to understand this, our need, he helps us then also break it down into the foundations of who we are and what we truly need out there in the world. And in verse 4, we come to this point where he's going to help us to understand that we're in maturity here. He says, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Well, so who are the simple? Now, I could just give you that definition and just, you know, let you continue to think that I'm this intellectual giant that stands in front of you. I mean, I'm really tall anyway, right? But if you just look at the bottom of your Bible sometimes, you know, you just do the simple things, right? You do the easy things. And if you just look down there, my Bible says at the bottom, it says the Hebrew word rendered in simple Proverbs, simple in Proverbs, denotes a person who is gullible, without moral direction, inclined to evil. In other words, there's someone out there wandering around in the world and they don't quite understand, you know, so they're being influenced by the world. They could be influenced by God if somebody would take the time and the love to speak that to them. But they're influenced. They're easy to influence, and they're gullible. So in other words, they're open. They're clean slates, and things need to be written on them. And what is being written on them? Well, the world will take any opportunity to write something on that clean slate. But so we're talking about a person who is just out there and not floundering necessarily, but surely doesn't know what the truth is. And then as that truth is brought to them, so you see, so they're this gullible person, this simple person. So we have this, given this prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So obviously then those who come to Jesus Christ, who step into faith, you know, they're the young, they're the immature, they're trying to grow. They're the ones that do need milk, and they do need to be spoon-fed. They do need your help. That's what God created the church for. God created the church so that we could be there to help people to eat and to learn how to mature in Jesus Christ. But we got to understand that they come through these levels, that there's levels of people. It's not, you know, I go to Faith Bible Church, so now I'm a believer. That's not how it works at all. What works is what Jesus does in you and your heart. What works is what Jesus does to grow you in your faith. And we start to see that in your behaviors. And the wisdom in your lives and the prudent behavior that you have and how you deal with other people. Don't you see that your faith, that as we come to these Proverbs, as he's trying to open us up to this wisdom and this understanding in God, that as he speaks to us, as he talks into us, that he also talks through us, and that as he talks through us, then we start to reach out into the world and do exactly what it was that Jesus did. We start to point to his Father in heaven. We start to show them the light because we're shining the light out in the world. You see how that all works? That when you stop asking a question about behavior when you become mature in Jesus Christ. Because you know that your love is for him and that anything that you would do is against him. Well, it's not loving. You're taking stabs and barbs at Jesus, the one who saved you. The one you claimed saved you. Verse 5 says, well, let the wise listen and answer their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. In other words, we're never done. We're always learning. We're always going through this. So no matter how wise we think we are, we're still called here to listen. Notice, if you would, if you look at those Proverbs, you know, and the first few verses, there's 4, and there's 4, and there's 4, and there's 4, and then all of a sudden, there's let. Okay, so he draws us out of that all of a sudden. He does a left turn so that we would stop and listen. Because the tendency is for believers to sit there and to think, hey, you know what? Why are we doing this again? I already know all of this stuff. I've already heard all this. I've already committed myself to Jesus. And through the very word of God, and this is the amazing part, that through the very word of God, that he reaches up and he bips you in the back of the head. And he says, are you listening to me? Do you hear what it is that I'm trying to tell you here? He says, yeah, but I thought this was for the immature, the simple. I thought it was for the young and the simple. And he says, no, this is for all of you. This is for your growing. This is for you showing how much you love me. This is for you. He says, so let the wise, and this is a caution, let the wise listen. Because it's those of us who think that we're wise, sometimes we don't listen. We talk more than we should listen. And that as we do these things, that as we try to verbalize them, we turn off the ears so that we can use the mouth. And he says, stop right there. Listen. That's what these are for. So in other words, that we as believers, and we think that we're coming right along, this is why we should never let go of this. The only thing that should happen to us as we grow in our faith is that we should cling to this tighter and tighter and tighter, never letting it go, letting it always be our guide and our wisdom. And he says that we can add to their learning. And let me tell you, loved ones, there is nobody more scarier than someone who says that they have nothing left to learn. If you have nothing left to learn, that must mean you're like God or Jesus or something. Maybe the Holy Spirit, if you don't want to jump in all that. That maybe that somehow you consider yourself to be equal with the one who is knowledge and the one who has all knowledge. You see, that's where then this humility comes in, and it yanks the pride right out from under us. Because, you know, we understand that, well, we don't know it all, even though sometimes we may speak like it. And let the discerning, that would be the believers, the wise believers, let the discerning get guidance. Where do you turn to for your guidance? Where do you turn to? Is it to Scripture and God's voice? Is it in your prayers as you listen to what he says to you? Is it through the Holy Spirit as he works in you? You look around you and you say, you know, well, my behavior today wasn't godly at all, but maybe God will forgive me and help me then from here on out. Or do you get it from someone, I don't know, like Oprah or somebody? You know, the big O. Better be watching that, Frida. You know, that as we look at these things, we like to think we're not influenced by the world. But I can't be the only Fox News addict in the room. Hello, I'm Ben, and I'm a Fox News addict. You know, and as we look at these things, though, but we're easily simple as well as wise, aren't we? And so as he pulls these apart and he helps us to understand the difference, there's a guidance in this. There's a place to turn, a foundation that has already been given to us. And that foundation is God himself, the creator himself. He gave you that ability to look to him. No matter how smart we think we are, he says, whoa, wait a minute, listen. I told you to listen. And you know, and it's really hard sometimes because people like me just keep talking. We just keep talking, and Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they're saying, listen, listen, listen to me. Well, and this is where the discerning, then, they get their guidance. So in other words, I have to listen. I have to stop. I have to hear what God has to say to me, no matter who I think I am. God says, then here's who you are. The discerning, then, are able to understand the difference between a right and a wrong. They're able to understand that God said that or God didn't say that. You know, that God gave me this, but he didn't give me that. That God says, this is a sin. And he says, that's not. So he's the one. He's the one that says, he's the one that gives me guidance. But it's way too easy for us in this world because, you know, we have this like thing called Facebook out there that we can fight on that all we want. All you have to do is get 100 likes on what you say, and then all of a sudden we believe that now all of a sudden we know we're the wise one. Yeah. You know, and how many times do we get caught up in that kind of stuff? How many times will we step into an argument and we will make an argument just for the sake to be arguing? When Paul, Jesus, all of them that come along after all of this, and they say, hey, listen, treat others as yourself and be humble in all that you do. But just a minute, Jesus, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to argue and tell these people how right I really am. Because Jesus would want that. He wants them to know what an intellectual giant I truly am. Even in a short man. So he says then, so he takes that break. He pulls us all aside. He says, those of you who are wise and you are listening, you should be listening too. This is for all of us. This is not so that new people can go through this for the first time. This is so that we can commit to this time and time again, because not only are we hard-hearted, but we're thick-headed. That it takes a lot of this stuff to go through us sometimes. It has to keep coming through us until we finally get it into understanding. So then in verse 6, he brings us now to the point of a fully rounded person for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. You see, sometimes, we will have someone who is simple or someone who is young, you know, that they will come into this and they'll look at this and say, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm reading these words and they're not saying anything to me. I can hardly understand the words. That as we go through this, what do we do? Well, here's what he's saying, is that it's a continual process, that you continue to put yourself through it. And as you continue to go through it, then you will grow in it. And then as you grow in these things, you will start to understand. The understanding will come. That you will know the proverbs, you will know the parables, the sayings, and the riddles of the wise. Now, the riddles of the wise, they're not just throwing these things out there. It's like a joke or a trick. You know, what they mean is that sometimes they say stuff that, you know, that our wisdom doesn't let us understand. That's the riddle. Okay, it's just a mystery, if you will. It's more mystery than puzzle, you know, a word puzzle sort of thing. But as we grow in this and we become more in this, we have to understand it takes time, it takes work. Now, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, because, you know, God sees you no matter where you're at or what you're doing, right? You know, but sometimes, you know, we say, well, I can't give time to the Bible. I just don't have time to the Bible. Okay, but we got time for Facebook, we got time for internet, we got time for other things. Right? You know, I know Laura and I, we can sit down with a pot of coffee and we can kill 2 hours drinking a pot of coffee looking at each other. Because, you know, a lot of the conversation we've already said and it's pretty much gone. So, you know, now we just stare at each other. I got the better end of that deal. So, As we grow in this, you know, we come to understand and we got to know and we got to accept into ourselves. It is understanding. It means, you know, you read it or you're saved and all of a sudden you're smart. That would be a true miracle with many of us, right? That we would ever be smart because God said you're smart. We can act smart, but we just, anyway. So he gives us this understanding, and this takes time. It takes a relationship. It takes all of your love for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit, for God to work you through this. And you have to give it to them. Listen, last weekend, we did a thing out in the community. And the community responded. Right? The community responded to it. To those very unfriendly people up at Faith Bible Church. They just think they're all that. And so here's what we did. We took those people and we took them down there and we said, we're going to praise God and we're going to worship God. We're going to give you some food too. A little bribe never hurts. We're going to do all this for you so you can see for yourselves, this is who we are. And that's what we did. You see, isn't that what wisdom, he's saying here, that if you got this you're in this proverbs, you know, for this, our definition rather was for the successful living, for the skillful living of faith. And that's what we did. We went down there and we showed them that this is who we are, this is what we are. And they couldn't tell if you were someone who was in the Bible an hour a day, every day. They couldn't tell if you hadn't even looked at your Bible today. But you know, but as we go through these things, what we want to show them is that behavior. We want to show them that we have this wisdom. And then when they have the question, and then we bring them into it. It is that simple. You do that with your children. You do that with new friends. That when you meet somebody for the first time and you start to get to know each other, there's always that awkward moment that all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like they say something and it kind of makes you bristle a little bit. I don't really believe that. But if you're going to be a true friend, then what do? You talk to them. You communicate with them, right? So all of a sudden, your behaviors are working through this because you want a new friend. You get on Facebook, you put something out there, somebody says, well, that's dumb, and the fight is on. Because it's not like you ignore it. You get back on there and you start answering that stuff, right? You say, well, yeah, but I know. And then 100 people get on there and all of a sudden you're winning the fight. That's not prudence, by the way. That's pride. That's pride. Because you think you got more than the other guy. If they get 101, then what do you got to have? 102. But see, as he brings us to this knowledge and he brings us to this understanding that he then sets us up. He sets you up to understand his word. And the only way that it will work is if you sit in it and you continue to read in it and you continue to look at it and take it into your heart and say, what is he saying here to me? Remember the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip asked him, he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? You're one of those two people. You're either the one that says, how can I understand? You ask somebody and they explain it to you. Or you're the one gets asked and you explain it back to them. It all is right here in Proverbs. And it walks us through this process if we take the time to walk it. If you take the time to live it. If you take the love and the faith that it takes to step into this and be in that. Then verse 7 then is where we'll finish this, obviously, and we'll conclude this thing here. And as we look at this verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How about that? Be afraid of God. Fear the Lord your God. And then some wise man comes along and he says, well, you know, really what it is that we just have this deep respect for who God is. Some intellectual giant comes and he tells us that, but really, you know, that you guys are buddies and stuff. Really, God, he just wants to be your friend. God needs you. I don't know about you, but when I read a sentence that says, fear the Lord your God, I only got one understanding of that. He says, I should be afraid of God. There is something that he wants me to know in those words that says you should be afraid. Because we try to interpret that word into so many different things. Well, fear is not really fear. Well, yeah, okay, so he doesn't jump out of a closet and scare you. And you say, oh, you got me there, Jesus. That's not what he's doing. What he's saying is that who this God is, the judgment that he carries with him, should cause you to drop to your knees because you know that you, inside of yourself and all that you are, all by yourself, that you're a sinner and you deserve judgment. Not mercy. But then this almighty power of God, through this love and this grace of his sovereignty, he says, but if you proclaim me as your Lord, I will save you. Do you understand that the God that could crush us is the God that saved us? Wow! Incredible. And that he would come in these words and he would say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Because once you drop to your knees and you say, Lord, forgive me all of my sins. Take me. I want to be with you in paradise, Lord. Take me. Then when you say that, when you give yourself to him, when you proclaim him your Lord, then he's the one. He's the one. The God, the creator of the universe. The God who could end it tomorrow or this afternoon or whatever he decides. And some of you are saying, I hope he ends it before the sermon is over. But this God is the one who lifts us up and says, it's time for you to learn. It's time for you to understand. Listen, be wise. And if you're not sure if I have that right, look at the second half of verse 7. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me tell you something here. Look at here. The Bible would be the greatest enemy to modern day marketing if there ever was one. Because it doesn't try to smooth you over. It tells you like it is. Listen, you can fear the Lord and you will start your learning. Or you can be a fool and you can despise wisdom and instruction. Now again, in all my intellectual ability and power, I went down to the bottom of my Bible. And it says down there, the Hebrew words rendered fool in Proverbs and often elsewhere in the Old Testament denote a person who is morally deficient. So, you can have wisdom if you fear God. You can have knowledge if you fear God. You can have understanding if you fear God. You will learn what the scriptures are trying to teach you if you fear God. But you can be morally deficient and despise it all. You can be without God. You see, we have a hard time with that. We would love for all of the people that we know and love, we would love for them, you know, to be somehow or other in God's way. You know, that we would even maybe change that picture in our mind. You know, that we would argue that on Facebook. And I'm not really down on Facebook, by the way. I have an account. I just don't know how to use my computer. But as we see here then, that he brings us to this fear and to this obedience, that he says he gives us these two choices, that you can fear the Lord or you can be a fool and despise him. That's it. Those are your choices, loved ones. Those are your choices. Pastor Ben didn't make them up. He read them in his Bible. Because he doesn't want to be a fool. And I hope that you want the same. But you see, what we find here then is the big picture that brings us to our obedience and trust in God. And he will guide us through all these things. He will guide us into understanding. He will guide us into instruction. He will guide us into wisdom. He will guide us to fear him. And we must give in. Loved ones, this is my personal question to you today. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? If you're not sure, see me. See me. Let me help you. Let me be someone in your life that can help you to understand, that can help you to see the wisdom in what God has given us in his fear. And then the last question that I have for you today. Now understanding these two options and understanding who you are in your world, in the world, in your life, and in your commitment to Jesus Christ, whether it be good or be bad, are you ready to face the God who created you today? Are you ready to stand in his presence? And when you do, will you despise him or will you fear him? Father, I just thank you so much for your truth today, and I just thank you that you give us this opportunity to share in it, to be those who come to your word. And we want to be committed, Lord, and we know that sometimes it's hard in our lives, but we know that you walk with us, Father. We know that that if we can't be here, then we can be somewhere that we can worship you, that we can praise you, that is the true priority in our lives, is just to praise you, that there's space anywhere on the ground around us for us to be on our knees in your presence. That we can come to this understanding, that we can come to know what it is you're trying to teach us in our faith, that you call us to a church, that we can be together in this journey. I thank you, Father, that you have given me this place. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought me and my wife here, that you have opened these loved ones up to us and us to them. But more importantly, that you have placed us all of us, under your instruction and your guidance. We pray, Lord, that we're being favorable to you. We pray, Lord, that we're being pleasing to you in all the things that we do. And we know we have a lot of work here, Lord, that we were broken and that we are broken. So we ask, Lord, that you continue to work and heal us and help us to be more each day so that we can understand your proverbs and your parables and your sayings and your riddles and your scriptures, that this desire in our heart would be to be forever with you and to be with you always, Lord, in your knowledge and in your wisdom, and not ours. For you see, Lord, we have chosen you and not the world. But we know that many of us haven't. And we call upon them to choose you, Lord, and not the world. And so we will be forever grateful, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.